We present John le Carré's A Murder of Quality, adapted for radio in five parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. A Murder of Quality, Episode 4.
Come on, come on, you're all right. Stand clear there, please.
Be careful, Mr. Roden.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Could you possibly spare a moment?
Well, of course, sir. Now, what can we do for you, sir?
Has anyone informed the school authorities about the accident?
No, sir, not yet.
I think we ought to tell the High Master at once.
Yes, and Fielding.
Oh, God, yes, poor Fielding.
It might come easier if we were to break the news, Rhodes.
Yes, yes, I think you're right.
If you've no objection to that, Sergeant.
Hmm? Oh, no, none, sir. None whatsoever. Someone will have to come and identify the body, of course, formally, but I dare say Inspector Rigby will be dealing with that.
Well, then, we'll say goodnight, Sergeant.
Yes. And a good evening to you, sir.
Come on, Rhodes. Best be on our way.
Yes. Yes, of course. There's a path across the fields just down here. Smiley will save a little time.
Oh, is it a bit dark for that?
No, no, it's the school path.
Ah, yes. Did you know young Perkins well?
Yeah, he was on my physics set this year. Nice enough boy, well-mannered and everything.
Yes, I met him the other evening at Fielding's. Musician, wasn't he?
Yes, cellist. Very good one, by all accounts. Near genius, according to Fielding. A young, whatever the chap's name is.
Casals?
No, no, the other one, the French chap.
Oh, Tourtellier.
Tourtellier, yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
What?
Well, except for his music, Perkins was absolutely useless academically. He didn't have a brain in his head, poor lad.
Really?
We just had midterm exams, and I dread to think what sort of a mess he'd made of the physics paper.
Why, was it particularly hard?
It wasn't easy, certainly. I set a pass mark at 40%. I didn't mark the papers, of course.
Oh?
Well, in the circumstances, they thought it better I should be relieved of that responsibility.
Ah, yes.
I think Simon Snow marked my physics papers. I doubt whether Perkins would scrape much more than 20%.
As low as that?
Oh, yes, especially with Simon. His marking tends to be rather harsh.
That's strange. Simon Snow told me Perkins got 61%.
61%? Perkins? Well, that's impossible. Absolutely impossible.
It's something of a shock, I take it.
Shock? It's just not credible.
Look, perhaps you'd better go to see the High Master without me. After all, I've never even met the man, and, this seems hardly the moment to effect an introduction.
Yes, yes, you're probably right.
Would it help if I were to break the news to Fielding for you? At least I have met him.
Yes. Yes, it would. I'd be grateful. You know Fielding's house?
Well,
the path brings us out just behind the squash course. Now, Fielding's house is just 100 yards beyond on the left. You'll see the lights.
I'm sure I'll find it. Thank you.
Yes. Smiley.
Yes?
Are you sure about Perkins, 61%?
Well, I may have made a mistake.
Someone has, certainly.
Enter. Smiley, what on earth are you doing here? Yes? What is it, Mayor?
I don't quite know what to say, Fielding.
Well?
At least, I don't quite know how to say it. I've just walked over from Longmead Hill, is it?
I expect so, yes.
There's been an accident there. A very serious accident.
What is it, Smiley?
Perkins, I'm afraid.
Oh, God, how serious?
Very. He was on his bicycle, coming down the hill too fast, I should think. He came off at the bottom and hit his head. I should think that death was instantaneous.
Death? Perkins dead? You can't mean that.
I'm afraid so.
Oh, God. Poor Tim.
You'll probably be asked to go and identify the body.
Yes.
Well, unless his parents.
No, in Germany, Rheindahl and his father's in the army. I'll have to phone them. Oh, God, this is going to be pretty awful for them.
Is there anyone else, perhaps?
There's an uncle, lives in Windsor. I better phone him too, I suppose.
Yes. It's a bad business all round, I'm afraid.
What on earth am I going to say, Smiley?
I don't know. That's always the hardest part, finding the right words.
There are no right words, not for this.
No, I don't suppose there are.
His people wanted to send him to Sandhurst, you know, follow his father into the regiment, all that. I thought I might be able to get him on to a music scholarship.
And they didn't want that?
I don't think they could afford to keep him on here. That's why I made him head of house, to encourage his parents to let him stay on because he was doing so well. Oh, dear God, Smiley, what have I done? What have I done?
Fielding, for God's sake, try and pull yourself together.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry is unforgivable of me. Enter!
Oh, Mr. Fielding, there's a telephone call. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you had visitors.
Don't worry, I was just leaving.
Who is it, true? Who is it on the phone?
The police, sir. Inspector Rigby. Yes. Well, Mr. Fielding, you're shaking all over. Whatever is the matter?
You tell us, Smiley. I can't bear to.
Why? What's happened? Mr. Fielding!
I'm afraid there's been the most dreadful accident, Miss Truebody. Young Perkins has been killed.
Oh, no.
I can't say how sorry I am.
Oh, how did it happen?
He crashed his bike at the bottom of Longmead Hill.
Oh, he'd be on his way back from his music lesson, the poor boy.
Well, I don't know. What music lesson?
He had 2 cello lessons a week with Mrs. Harlow up in Longmead.
Why did he have to go up there? Khan has its own music school, surely.
Oh, yes, but Mrs. Harlow only teaches from home.
Oh?
She takes the advanced students. She used to play with one of the big symphony orchestras. Young Tim was something special.
Ah, Smiley, Inspector Rigby wants a word with you.
Really?
Tell me, was Stanley Road with you? At the accident, I mean.
Yes, he was.
So that's probably what Rigby wants to talk about.
Oh, very probably. Now, whereabouts is the telephone?
Just on the left there, outside my room.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sir, that poor boy.
Now, true.
Hello?
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Ah, good. Rigby here, sir. I gather you already know about the accident to the boy Perkins?
Yes.
And Mr. Road was with you at the time?
Yes.
All the time, sir?
From 6 o'clock onwards. Early enough for what, Inspector?
Oh, for an alibi.
Well, why on earth should he need one?
Perhaps we might talk about that, sir. Not on the phone, if you don't mind.
Oh?
You wouldn't like to meet me at the bottom of Longmead Hill, would you? Where the accident happened.
Very well. I'll be there in what, about 15 minutes?
Thank you, sir.
Ah. Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, officer. Is Inspector Rigby with you?
Were you expecting to meet him here, sir?
Well, yes, actually.
You'd be Mr. Smiley, I reckon.
Yes.
Inspector Rigby's on his way, sir. Should be here any minute.
Thank you.
Would you like to sit in the car, out the cold?
No, not just for the moment, thank you. You've cordoned off the area, then?
And mounting guard over it all night. Worse luck.
Oh, it's getting a little sharp, isn't it?
Out the car it is, sir, yes. Ah, that'll be the inspector now, I shouldn't wonder.
Yes.
I haven't kept you waiting, I hope.
No, Inspector, I've only just arrived.
I couldn't get away from the ruddy telephone.
That's always the way, isn't it?
Just you pull into the side, Charlie, and wait. Everything all right, young fella?
Quiet as a graveyard, sir. And about as interesting.
Never you mind about the interest. You just make sure you keep awake.
Right, sir. And you'll be relieving us at midnight, sir?
Not if I have any more of your lip, I won't. Now, Mr. Smiley, shall we walk up the road a while?
Whatever you say, Inspector.
I could have done without all this, you know.
I'm sure.
Just one damn thing after another.
Yes.
Now, about tonight, Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
You were due to meet Mr. Road at 6 o'clock, weren't you?
That's right.
And was that the time you met him?
Yes.
At his house?
Outside his house. He'd been into Khan on his bicycle.
Had he now?
What time did the accident occur, Inspector?
Well, most of the pathologists would say was that the boy hadn't been dead much above an hour when we brought him in.
So that puts it when? Between 5:30 and 6 o'clock?
About that. Couldn't have been much earlier because it doesn't get dark until after 5. He had his lights on. That's how he was spotted in the first place.
Mm. Who found him?
Local farm labourer. Driving his tractor back home when he saw the bike's headlamp shining in the ditch. just there when we got it roped off. And that's the first thing that worried me.
Why?
Because the boy was found 3 or 4 yards behind the bike. And he was found face down.
Hmm. Well, he might have been trying to throw himself clear.
If the brakes had failed, that might well be a possibility.
But they haven't, I don't suppose.
No, the brakes were fine.
Hmm.
It's my view that he was knocked off the bike.
How do you mean?
As opposed to the bike being knocked over and the boy falling off.
You're suggesting something hit the boy without hitting the bike?
Exactly that.
Well, you must have some reason.
I have, Mr. Smiley. The boy had a rope burn across his throat.
A rope burn?
And his windpipe was all but stove in.
A trip rope? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, head high. I'll take even money that we find rope marks around one of these trees. That's why the area's cordoned off.
Is that what killed him?
Oh, no. Cause of death was a short, sharp blow to the back of the neck. The way you'd kill a rabbit. Let's walk back to the car, shall we?
Yes. Perkins went to Longmead for his cello lessons, you know.
Did he?
Yes. 2 days each week with a Mrs. Harlow.
I didn't know that. Mrs. Harlow, you say?
Yes, I believe she lives in Longmead.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense if we assume that this was planned by someone who knew exactly what time Perkins would be coming back from the music lesson.
Yes. That could be anyone in the school, couldn't it?
And quite a few outside it.
Tell you what, I think we ought to go and see this Mrs. Harlow.
We?
I need all the help I can get right now, sir. So if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Smiley, I'd be very grateful. By the way, sir, I don't intend explaining who you are to the likes of Mrs. Harlow.
Oh. Oh, yes, I see. You want me to act like a policeman?
Well, don't stretch the imagination too far, like.
Well, at least she's expecting us.
Yes. It was worth a quick call, just to make sure she was in.
Did you tell her about Perkins?
She already knew. Bad news travels fast down here.
Yes?
Inspector Rigby, ma'am, from Cannes CID. I rang you a few minutes ago.
Oh, yes. Please come in.
Thank you, ma'am. This is George Smiley.
Mrs. Harlow.
Go straight in. The door on your left.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, please, do sit down.
Oh, thank you.
It's all been such a dreadful shock.
Indeed it has, ma'am. But if you could just help us fill in some of the background, we'd be very grateful to you.
I'll tell you what I can, of course.
Well, to start with, ma'am, do you remember what time Tim Perkins left you this evening?
Well, eventually, I suppose his lesson finished more or less on time. So, 5:15, 5:20, perhaps?
Eventually, Mrs. Harlow?
Yes.
Forgive me, but what do you mean, the lesson eventually finished on time?
Well, he was playing so badly. I threatened to send him home early.
Was there any particular reason for that, do you think? Playing badly?
He was particularly worried about something.
Did he say that?
No, Inspector. His playing said it for him. You see, it's my belief that there's a definite connection between the way a musician plays and the way he feels. Unless he's very professional, of course. Tim was young. When he felt wrong, you could hear it.
How good was he, Mrs. Harlow?
Usually very good indeed. His playing was instinctive. Unforced, if you know what I mean.
A budding Tortelier?
Oh, no. Never that. He would eventually have been worth a place in any decent orchestra. His technique was certainly good enough. But beyond that, no. I very much doubt it, frankly.
And yet he had the reputation in the school of being a near genius.
Yes, I know.
How would you say that has come about, Mrs. Harlow, in the light of your own evaluation?
A conspiracy, perhaps. On the part of his housemaster?
Stop the boy going to Sandhurst, you mean?
Or to keep him on at Cannes.
Why would he want that, do you think?
I wouldn't know, Mr. Smiley. I was never very good at interpreting motive. Otherwise, I might have been another Tortelier.
What was all that about a conspiracy, sir? Damn it, I could fathom a word of it.
Oh, Perkins' family are army. The boy was more or less expected to go into the army. Into his father's regiment, probably.
Against his will, you mean?
Well, against his inclinations, I suspect. And certainly against Fielding's.
Why would Fielding want to keep Perkins on at Cannes? Isn't that what Mrs. Harlow was suggesting?
Yes. Yes, she was.
I don't get it.
Well, Fielding wanted the boy to stay at Cannes and have a shot at a music scholarship.
But apparently the parents couldn't really afford for him to do that.
So that's why he's been pretending Perkins is a budding, what's his name?
Tortelier, yes.
At least that makes some sort of sense now. See all those lights down there, sir? That's the school.
Oh, there seems even more of it in the dark.
Yes.
He must be somewhere near Lord Sawley's estate.
Yes, we are. Longmead Hill's the boundary, actually. Have you been to these parts before, then, sir?
Yes, my wife brought me down to spend a weekend at Sawley House.
Oh, did she now?
I seem to remember spending the whole time on my own, looking over an empty house while everybody else was out shooting things.
What, partridge and pheasant and that sort of thing?
God knows. Anyway, what you shoot at is unimportant. It's who you shoot with.
I'll drink to that.
What a splendid idea, Inspector. Do you have anywhere in mind?
Well, if you're serious.
There you are, sir. Two large scotches and a small ginger wine.
Thank you.
That's £1.60, £1.75, if you please, sir.
Oh, and could I have the water jug, please?
Water. Water? Ah.
Thank you.
£1.75, I said, didn't I?
That's right.
Thank you very much. £1.75, £1.80, £2, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. There you are, Inspector. Say when.
Well, how about you?
No, mine's already watered.
Well, in that case, I don't mind if you top it up a bit. Now, that's lovely. Do you mind if we don't go back to the station?
Not at all.
I mean, I've had enough for one day.
Oh, this is much more convivial, isn't it? Your very good health.
God bless. Nothing like a whiskey mac to keep the cold out on a winter's evening. You should try it.
No, thank you. I don't like ginger wine.
Pity about that. Now, let's get down to brass tacks, shall we?
By all means.
You agree, don't you, that the murder of Mrs. Rhode is somehow connected with Perkins' death?
Well, I think it would be too much of a coincidence if it weren't.
And therefore we're looking for one murderer.
Well, I think we must start from that premise. Yes. I'm sure the name of this particular game is Consequences.
You mean that one murder is a direct consequence of the other?
Yes. Stella Rhodes' murder was obviously planned with some care. The plastic cape, gloves, the coaxial cable.
Which was stolen from the school science book, by the way.
Huh?
Yes, about 3 weeks ago.
The point's unarguable, then.
Right.
Now then, let us suppose that Perkins knew, or discovered, something that pointed directly at Mrs. Rhodes' murderer. Something that was likely to upset all that careful planning.
Yes, but why wait till tonight? I mean, it's nearly a week since Mrs. Rhode was murdered. So if Perkins did know something, why wait till tonight to kill him?
Well, it may have been the first real opportunity that presented itself.
That's true, I suppose.
Or perhaps some fact has just come to light. To the murderer, that is. Something that presented Perkins as a threat.
Yes, but what?
Well, that's what we have to establish. You know, Perkins got 61% in his physics exam.
Oh, really?
Yes, Rhode was surprised, absolutely astonished. He anticipated a mark of 20% at best.
And Perkins got 61%.
Yes. Amazing result for a boy with no ability in the subject.
Yes.
Hadn't a brain in his head, according to Rowe.
Are you saying Perkins cheated?
It seems probable.
Look, Mr. Smiley, this might be me being a bit slow, but I'm not quite sure what this has got to do with the case.
Of course. Forgive me, Inspector, you probably don't even know.
Don't even know what?
The briefcase that Stanley Rhode left at Fielding's house on the night of the murder contained the physics exam papers for Perkins' class.
Yes, but
Rhode was going to mark them.
Rhode went back to Fielding's house to collect it.
Now, the point is that Rhode didn't take the briefcase to the house himself. He sent Perkins on with it while he went and changed into his dinner jacket.
Well, I can see how Perkins might have cheated, Mr. Smiley, but I don't see the connection with his death.
Well, there may not be one. But I find this little assembly of facts intriguing. Too intriguing to be a coincidence, perhaps.
And you think it might be worth pursuing, obviously.
I do, Inspector. I think it would be very remiss of us not to.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you, but... Oh, it's you, Mr. Smiley. Do come in, please.
Oh, thank you.
Not the warmest of winter days, I'm afraid.
No, indeed.
Can I take your coat?
Thank you. Mr. Fielding is in, I take it.
He's on the telephone to Germany. Been trying to get through since last night.
And to the boy's parents?
Yes. Oh, he's taken it very badly, you know.
I can imagine.
If you wait here a minute, I'll see if he's finished.
What is it, True?
Oh, Mr. Smiley, he's come to see you.
Oh, you better sit him in.
This way, Mr. Smiley.
Thank you.
Come in, Smiley. Come in.
Thank you.
I've just been talking to the boy's father.
Yes, I heard. It can't have been easy for you.
God, I hate this sort of thing. What on earth do you say?
What indeed?
Well, I thought about it, made the right sort of noises, but it came out like a string of the most awful cliches.
Well, perhaps that's the way to tell. With words people can recognize, especially over the telephone.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
And perhaps they'll find some small consolations and know that Tim was beginning to do so well.
What?
With his work. The improvement in his physics. Rode had really worked wonders with that boy, hadn't he? I mean, 61%.
Who told you that?
Simon Snow. He marked the papers for Perkins' physics set, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Oh, with marks like that, Perkins would certainly have got his remove, wouldn't he? I mean, that must have been some comfort to his parents. You did tell them, Fielding?
No.
No?
Well, why should I, damn it, man, in those circumstances?
Hmm. So you don't believe those exam results either?
What the devil do you mean?
Perkins was head of your house, a responsible boy, presumably.
Absolutely. I won't hear otherwise.
So that night, Perkins brought Rhodes' briefcase to you for safekeeping, as Rhodes had asked him to do. What happened?
Look, Smiley, what the hell has all this got to do with you? Why should I tell you?
Because I think you should tell someone, Fielding.
What? Oh, why not? There's no secret. It's perfectly straightforward.
Then tell me.
When Tim gave me the case, I asked him how the exam had gone. I was worried for him, you see. If he didn't get his remove this time, he was out. No chance of a music scholarship. No Sandhurst, even.
What did he say?
Nothing. Just burst into tears.
Mm.
Wept his heart out.
Guilt, perhaps? Or remorse, do you think?
Remorse? For what?
Well, he obviously opened Rhodes' case sometime before delivering it to you and copied the correct answers on his exam paper.
Oh, don't be a fool, Smiley. You've no idea. You didn't know him. That boy wouldn't have cheated to save his life. That's the whole point, the whole bloody irony of it.
Well, I'm afraid that's not the way I see it.
He wasn't the cheat, Smiley. It was me. I cheated for him.
You?
Yes. But I found his papers in Rhodes' case and cribbed the answers from a textbook. Wrote them in with a cheap ballpoint. We all use them here.
And you copied Perkins' handwriting?
As best I could. Anyway, there was hardly any need. A few figures, symbols, the rest was mostly graphs and diagrams.
Hmm.
Oh, I know, it was a damn stupid thing to do. And after what's happened, I can't say I'm any proud of myself.
No. So, it was you who opened the case.
Well, I had to get at the papers.
Yes. You're feeling, what else was there inside Rhodes' briefcase when you opened it? Can you remember?
Besides the exam papers, you mean?
Yes.
Well, let me see now. That waterproof cape and trousers he always cycles around in. And his galoshes, of course.
Mm. Is that all?
I wasn't carrying out a search, Smiley.
No, but if you could remember.
Well, there were one or two bits and pieces he was obviously using in the lab. A length of what looked like copper cable. You know, the sort of thing.
Yes, I think I do.
But to be honest, I wasn't thinking of anything but those damned exam papers.
No, of course.
And what's it all been for, Smiley? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God, what a waste.
That's that, then, Mr. Smiley. I've sent a couple of men round to Rhodes' house to bring him in for questioning.
Yes. Well, you could hardly do anything else in the circumstances.
They're plainclothes men, and I've warned them to be discreet. We don't want the press swarming around our ears again.
Well, certainly not at this stage, no.
Well, Mr. Smiley, you were right about the exam results, I mean.
Yes, it would seem so.
Rhodes must have come to the same conclusion himself.
Perhaps. Well, he would certainly be aware of the boy's limitations.
Still, it didn't take him long to put two and two together, did it? Even if he did get it wrong.
Yes, and Tim Perkins paid a very high price for that mistake.
You know, it might have been avoided if Fielding had come to us earlier, about the stuff he found in the briefcase.
Well, he had no reason to. He was unaware of its significance. But more important to Fielding, I should think, was that he wouldn't want to get the boy into trouble over the cheating.
But it was Fielding who cheated. He admitted that.
But it involved the boy in a way that he wouldn't want to become common knowledge.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at, Mr. Smiley.
I'm not quite sure myself. At least, not yet.
Rigby? Oh, yes. Has he, by God? No, you'd better come back. Right. Troubles never come but in threes, do they?
What's the matter?
Mr. Stanley Rhode has done the vanishing trick.
What?
He's disappeared. Well, that's put paid to all discretion now. We'll have to issue a warrant for his arrest.
That was part four of A Murder of Quality, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. The part of Stanley Rhode was played by William Gaunt, Terence Fielding by Peter Jeffrey, Miss Truebody by Sheila Wilcox, Mrs. Harlow by Harriet Reynolds, and the police sergeant by Peter Tuddenham. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.